Morning, church. How are we doing today? Doing good? Do you recognize anything different? Oh, no. I wore this shirt 125 years ago when the church first started. I thought you'd recognize it for sure. But anyway, okay. Good morning, sweetheart.
I think your hair was darker then. That's why they don't recognize it.
My feelings are hurt. It was a good one. Well, I don't see you got me. I don't know what to say now. This is really going downhill from today. Hey, let me just give you a few announcements to let you know what's going on this morning. As you can see, things are a little bit different. Some of you are worried because we didn't have any coffee out there, but right after the service, we're going to have plenty of coffee and there's cake. And it's cake for our 125th anniversary. We're going to be celebrating that together. So there's no Sunday school the next hour. We're just going to enjoy ourselves and fellowship. And then after the 11 o'clock service, which ends about, 12:15 or so, 12:30, we're going to all gather here together. We're having a huge barbecue. We're looking forward to everybody being there. We got tables set up in the patio. We'll have tables and chairs set up in here and even in the chapel as well. So we've got plenty of room for everybody. We're looking for you coming. It's going to be a real exciting time.
Hey, Mike, by the way, about that setting this place up for tables and chairs.
Yeah.
If you're able-bodied. And feel
you're going
like
to have to work real hard,
yeah,
Bob.
If you want to get back around. If you want those of you who have a good back, if you want to come back around noon and just be here to help us reset this place.
Okay, great. And then also at noon, if you're a server, some of you are here today and you're going to be helping serving the food, they'd like to have a meeting, and they didn't tell me where the meeting is going to be. In the kitchen. Okay. The meeting in the kitchen at noon, and that'll help us. Would you please do us a wonderful favor, if you would, and that is to fill out a contact card. It's on your chair in front of you right there. It's so important to update that contact information, especially if you haven't been here in a long time. Or you're a guest. We just want to send you a little note, say thank you. But if you would update your contact information with your email address, okay, that is so helpful to us. We appreciate that. And if you'll do that, then I won't bug you for anything else. There's also a little pamphlet that's available over here on the history of the church. If you'd like to pick one of those up, we're going to be talking about the history today. We got our special missionary, Joanne Shetler. And she's going to be sharing the Word of God with us this morning, so we're so excited, okay? Let's do something we love to do around here, and that's give a lot of hugs and a lot of love. So let's all stand, shall we, and hug and love one another.
How long is God good?
All the time.
That's why we get to sing these words. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you.
like to ask our servers to come on forward if they would as we are ready to receive our offering. Some of you haven't been here in a really long time, so you're going to want to catch up on your tithe this morning. I'm just kidding. But something that you will want to do, put your contact card in the bag when that comes around. And then also, if you go down the hallway of the church, you're going to see on the wall photos of the history of First Baptist Church, all the way from some of the very beginning pastors till current, and then our building and other different missions that we have. And if you just walk down the hallway, you'll see everything there. And then in addition to that, in room 113, we have some artwork, and that artwork has been done by different people in the church to commemorate the 125th anniversary of First Baptist Church, and we'd like you to vote on which one is the best, because somebody's going to win a very special prize, okay? So let's ask the Lord to bless this offering. Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. Lord, when I just think of the book of Lamentations and how Israel was hurting and suffering and lamenting, right in the middle of that book, you talk about and you state your faithfulness, that there is nobody like you, that you are the one. You are the steadfast one. Your mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. That is our celebration today. I'd ask you to be with Jo as she shares her story, the history of the church, how you called her into missions right through the ministry of First Baptist Church. And Father, in all of that, we would just ask that you would be honored and glorified. Bless my sister today. Bless all who have come to celebrate you this day. Bless the gifts of our offering of service unto you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's so funny, Pastor Mike would say, today is the day to catch up on your tithe. I just was thinking about that. I don't think I could ever catch up on my tithe, that I could ever give to the Lord what he deserves. We were walking through Costco the other day, and the Halloween costumes are out, and the fall decorations are out, and so are all the Christmas presents. Have you noticed that? I was walking through there thinking how much money I've wasted in that store. It could have been used for other purposes. But this church, what you're doing today, the gathering together of the saints for the worship of our great King, this is not wasted. And it can never be taken from you. We believe in one God, the maker of heaven and earth, of things seen and unseen, that one day he'll come again to judge the quick and the dead, and he will take us to be with him where he is. And there our praise enthrones him forever. So the choir now sings this setting of the creed. We believe in one God.
Children, you can be dismissed to junior church if you're still lingering around, or children's church. Psalm 77:11 says, remember the works of the Lord. And that's what we're here to do this morning, to remember how God has used First Baptist Church and God has worked through First Baptist Church over the last 125 years. And it's my privilege this morning to introduce to you our speaker. She's a native Paso Robles. She's a longtime First Baptist Church attender, member of this church. She, as a young woman, was influenced by this church, discipled by this church, mentored by this church, and God used this church to call her to the mission field. And like Abraham in the Old Testament, she was called out and to go to a place she wasn't quite sure of, and she's going to share that story with you this morning. Would you welcome our Wycliffe missionary, Joanne Shetler?
Thank you. Thanks, Andy. Well, I'm really delighted to be here. Frankly, half scared to death standing up here in front of y'all. You know, I work with tribal people, so it's just a little bit out of my element. But, you know, it was like 125 years ago, there was a seed planted. And that seed started to grow. And we're going to look at some of the things that seed produces, because that seed is producing in every single one of you. I kept thinking of what God does through the ordinary people that sit in pews. It was not quite 75 years ago when there was a 10-year-old child who heard the best news of her life, and she thought that was the best deal of her life, how God cleans up people and can make them part of his family. And so that seed started to produce some fruit. Now, it would take a historian to tell you all the things that that seed has produced. And I think down the halls we get just a tiny, tiny little glimpse of it. And so all I can share is what I've seen that this church do in my life, because what the church does is what you have done. And this is part of all of our program. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I love our songs that we talk about remembering, because only when we remember do we know to worship God. And to remember everything, of course, is something that I think that's why we have eternity in heaven. It takes pastors, it takes Sunday school teachers, it takes administrators, it takes the people who set up the tables and fix the chairs, and God makes us a team, and of course we all work together. And so I grew up on this is what we saw out our kitchen window when I grew up on a farm not far about from here. I think it's all grapes now, but it used to be all you know, wheat and stuff then. Had two brothers, and grew up in a German work ethic family. So we didn't get to church as much as probably everybody would have liked to do it. But my grandparents moved to Paso Robles in 1918. My grandmother was a Baptist, and she started coming to this church. And this church looked a little bit different back then. And it's changed its face a number of times until now. What used to be the little church is just sort of an overflow place right now, I think. And it was through that grandmother. My grandfather didn't come real often. But they were just up on the corner here, and that's a little restaurant now where we used to go after church every Sunday. And there was a donut shop pretty close, and we could have donuts. My earliest memory of this church was when I was in preschool. And I don't remember much about it, except that down in the basement of that church, we would walk and march around in a circle with our pennies. And we would sing this little song about pennies, pennies, hear them fall, everyone for Jesus, he'll get them all. And I love to march around like that. And these pennies are going to come up again a little bit later. Probably the biggest life-changing event in my life happened when this church had a five-day child evangelism meeting after school. Now, we only could ride the bus. On this German work ethic farm where I grew up, there was no time to take kids anywhere. Well, the pastor in those days, I don't know if the pastor now has to drive bus to make men's meet, but back in those days, Preacher Brown, he was really the pastor that I knew because he was the one that was there all my years of living full-time in Paso. He told my folks he would take us kids home, bring us to the home if we could stay for these child evangelism meetings. They agreed, and that was the time I was born again, 10 years old, came to know the Lord. Yeah, that was a good job that preacher had. Preacher Brown, I don't have many pictures of him, but you can see him in the hallway, I guess, was the pastor that we knew week in and week out. And I was so thankful that my folks got him a ticket to come to the Philippines and visit the tribal group that he was so important to me in establishing. This church had called a missionary to come, Don Hillis. And I remember the stories that Don Hillis told us because it impacted me. He asked us kids sitting on the front row, do you want to be a goer and a teller and a maker of disciples like Jesus told us to do? And of course, I wanted to do that. By now, I was, of course, a child of God, and I thought, yes, I'll do that. He said, well, 90% of the people doing it are focusing on 10% of the world. And that left 10% of the goers and tellers and makers of disciples to somehow reach 90% of the world. And I'll never forget the day I thought, oh, brother, what have I gotten myself into? Now I'm going to have to be a missionary. And it's how I was called. I mean, God just never does it the same way, does he, anytime? So this was how I was called. And as the time went on, you know, in those years, at 14 years old, you get a driver's license. And so now I'm able to go to Bible club at Preacher Brown's house every Tuesday night. We could drive in. And the thing I liked about that is the pastor, he'd let us choose any book of the Bible we wanted to read. I remember going into his office one time and talking to him and saying, I think I'm going to quit being a Christian. This is just too hard. I don't remember what he said. I think he probably just listened more than he said anything. But it brought me to one verse. What's it going to profit a person if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? He didn't add much to it, but I had an awful lot to think about. Well, there was all kinds of things, of course, that you do as young people. There's Christian Endeavor camps. And, of course, Preacher Brown, he came with us, and we really enjoyed that. Had a wonderful time at those events. I think all of us who went off to the Pinnacles remembers that little story, getting caught in the caves. I tried so hard in high school to witness to people, but I just didn't know how very well. And the church here was starting to have Mary Westbrook and Glee Cooper come and teach us how to reach children. I thought, well, I could go learn how to do that. And so I came, and every Wednesday after school, I'd hike down from our grammar school in high school and here to the church, and Glee Cooper would go through the lesson that you would teach children. Well, it wasn't hard for me to be the Bible teacher in one of these clubs and talk to the kids. I loved it, and the kids loved it. and I saw people come to know the Lord. So I was very much hooked on how to reach children, and I think I got a lot of confidence from that. I wasn't so afraid to witness. Well, if you're going to be a missionary, you need to go get some schooling. So I asked Preacher Brown, where should I go? What do missionaries do? How do you what do you take? What do you study? I mean, it's a little different now. I mean, we've got the internet, we've got Google, and we could find out all kinds of stuff. But in those days, we asked the preacher. Maybe you're asking the preacher now. It's not a bad thing to do. Well, he said you go to Biola, and so I went there. Had a wonderful 4 years. Majored in Bible and Christian education. He told me take Christian education. That would be a good thing for somebody that's going to be a missionary. Well, then if you're going to be a missionary, I loved what I did at Biola. On Saturdays, it was what I learned at this church about how to speak to kids. So Saturdays, we didn't have classes. I'd go up into the slum areas above Biola there in downtown Los Angeles, and it wasn't hard to find all these little kids out in the streets with nothing to do, gather the kids together, and started having Bible club. The kids loved it, and I loved it. And I'll never forget the shock I had when I saw some of the other kids. And I remember one of the boys came up and wanted to know, how did you get off of these drugs? And so I saw the other side of the life of those little kids and where they were headed for. Well, if you're going to be a missionary, one thing I didn't know you have to do, and that is learn another language. So I'd heard about this course at the University of Oklahoma. If you go and take this course, they will teach you how to learn other languages. And since I didn't like languages very well, I went off to this course, and that's when I heard about Wycliffe Bible Translators. And the thing I liked about that was, see, I wanted to do something that would last forever. And of course, this lasts forever. You give it to people. I wanted to know when you're done with your job. You ought to know when you come to the end of the book. So those were very, very important issues for me at that time. They no longer seem to be issues at all. Well, so I joined Wycliffe. Now I need a team. How can you go be a Bible translator or a missionary without somebody praying for you? Now what do I do? Go back to the pastor. Okay, what do I do? Well, the pastor knew some churches around and some church leaders, Sunday school union teachers they were. Some were itinerant, some were permanent. He took me off to Santa Margarita, and he must have been the one to talk to the pastor there because they wanted to know what I was doing. So I shared with them. They wanted to know, well, how are you supported? And I said, well, churches, I guess, and people. I didn't know what to say. I was all twing-tested, and that little church said, well, we'll take on $10 a month, and we'll pray for you. And so I started to get it. And then Preacher Brown took me to another church. He took me out to Creston. That's where they always wear cowboy boots and sets and hats. And that little church, it was they said, okay, we'll be on your prayer team, and we'll be part of your support team. So now I had my home church, of course, and then I had Creston. And then it wasn't the end either. He took me off to Rio Grande. There was this little church down there that was built in 1876, and I think it's still standing there. You know, it's one of those little antique places. And it wasn't very big, but it was so wonderful. And that little church said, yeah, we'll take you on. We'll be part of your prayer team. These churches, Home Church, Santa Margarita, Creston, Rio Grande, to this very day, are my life support. These little places. You see, God starts with little seeds, and they grow, and they produce fruit. And there's some ripple effect. You have no idea of the people that you impact. And you know, it started here, and it keeps going. Well, Now I'm a member of Wycliffe Bible Translators. You got to do more. You got to go to Jungle Camp and find out how to live in these far places that are on the other side of the world, a place where there's no written language, nothing. And our assignment was the Philippines. It was a three-week trip on the boat, and had a wonderful time. And we arrived in the Philippines, and I can remember the very first time we started to eat mangoes. You've never eaten a mango till you've eaten a Philippine mango, right? I got some agreeers up here on the front. Yeah, and so we got there and found out our assignment was Balangao. Now, Balangao was a place that was 3 days to the end of the road and two more days hiking through leech-infested rainforest mountains. And I was with my co-worker. We were going to do Bible translation. Our pastor, or our the man who agreed to have Americans come, was mortified that we were women. They had never seen women at the end of World War II. He said that we needed someone to take care of us. He would be our father. So my Balangao dad started to help us in translation. He didn't wasn't the main helper in translation, but he was one of the early ones to believe. Now, the story is long and it's written in a book, so I'm not going to go into the Balangao story, because I have something else I want to share with you, and that's sort of what we're doing these days. But in the very beginning, the Word of God speaks to the people that translate it as much as it speaks to the people that hear it. The things you've heard, Paul said, the things you've heard me say, entrust to reliable people who will be qualified to teach others. And that's what the body's all about. Every single one here is influencing people. And what is it that we're teaching them? That's the thing. Well, my Balangao dad went out and I wanted to teach people something. It was very, very important. And he started to bring in some people. It was a very small group. It starts little in the very beginning, but it grows. And a church was born. It's sort of an offspring, you can say, here, because the seed planted here was producing some fruit there. And that seed's going to keep on producing fruit. I've always wanted every pastor of this church to be able to come and visit Balangao. And so when my folks gave Pastor Preacher Brown a ticket to Balangao, that's when I was still there. And it was a most wonderful experience for me and for him to come back and report here. And so every pastor that we could, we brought over to the Philippines. And of course, Pastor Mike and Sandy, you know, they've been to the Philippines more than once. And so you see, the connection for me is very, very tight and very, very important to have our family. And I got a bunch of other family folks here too. I wish I had time to mention everybody's name. Let's see. The church in Philippines started to grow, and we had believers coming. And then they would go to another village. Until now, there's a church in every village in Balangao. But before, they're not this full either these days. But every village has a church in it. People had the Word of God, but I wanted them to pray. I mean, we had a lot of believers in Balangao, but we couldn't find people to pray. I can remember being so desperate one day. I told God that I don't care what you have to do. You make these people pray. God said, well, I can do it. Hang on. We crashed right in Balangao. They pulled the doctor out and he died. Doming was in that crash with me. And that was a turning point in Doming's life. And perhaps many of you have heard about Doming and the ministry God has given him. Well, the turnaround happened because of that, and Belangows actually learned how to pray. Their prayer, I'll never forget, God, don't let her die yet. Our book's not done. And God heard their prayers. So Belanghaus now, they have their little Bible studies in the house, go off on missionary journeys, and reach other people. This is very, very important. This is the seed that started 125 years ago. You know, you never know who's impressed by your life and what happens, people that you influence and you touch. Well, we kept working in Belangau. We finished the New Testament. And I had a crew of men. They're sort of the leaders in the churches, because you teach to faithful people. And every one of us is going to influence somebody. And usually, you know, we know the kids always pick up stuff that you're hoping they wouldn't. But the seeds we plant are very, very powerful. Now it's time to print the New Testament. We finished the translation. See, in those days, anytime any portion of Scripture was printed, the translator had to do it. Well, I was living with the Belanghaus mostly, and so I used that money for them. So, going on and on, the church here prayed. Sunday school classes started to get involved in this church. They said, well, we can help produce a Bible, $10 each. They started doing it. And I can remember the young people said, they'll go out and have a car wash. They'll buy some Bibles. And do you know, even those little primary kids, they had their penny drop. And sure enough, they bought some Bibles too. And so we paid for the whole New Testament in the beginning because of that. Because of what the church did. We had 2 days and two nights of dedication. Such fun. And then when I came home, I met somebody else. Amy, stand up and wave. Back in the corner. I had a home assignment, and Amy came to help me on that home assignment. It extended to the Philippines. She came with me to the Philippines because we were doing ethno-theology think tanks. We were doing worldview workshops, and I really needed someone to help. And she visited Belangau, stories she'd heard before. She got to meet the Belangau family. So, and doing those worldview and ethno-theology think tanks, Amy was very distressed by how people's faith is paralyzed by cultural problems. And she saw, as we fought with bird omens that warned somebody you can't go to the forest or you can't go to the field, about sorcery who says nobody just dies if you didn't do something to make them die, and dreams, how dreams can tell them the dead want a pig and you got to sacrifice a pig. Spirits of the dead can do things like make your crops fail, and so you have to be worried about them. You think, oh, they're believers, they shouldn't worry about that. But just because you become a believer, have you noticed all the stuff that you ever learned from childhood never left, and you have to fight it. They've got things in their culture they have to do. So now we have new roles, and Amy and I are working as consultants. Another spin-off is a Belangau brother, Doming. He said, Manang, this New Testament that we've got is great, but it's like a sword without a handle. We need the Old Testament. So he started the Old Testament program. I'd go into Belangau, and when I was, you know, opportunity would provide, because I'm now in the States, and I would do some checking. Another piece of fruit, one of the young men that helped me finish the New Testament in Belangau saw a tribal group on the other side of the mountain, and he just finished a translation in that language, and they dedicated the Bantukayong New Testament. And it's all fruit. right from here. Anna and Victor, some of you are familiar with those. One of our Belangau kids, Anna went to the Philippines. She went to Papua New Guinea after she'd been to a few other countries. And now they're back in the Philippines and working on Old Testament. Mercy worked in East Asia until she could no longer get a visa. And now she is studying Arabic because she wants to go to Jordan. Ida traipses the mountains and shows the Jesus film in tribal groups. Garrett and her husband Mike have an incredible program with a neighboring language group, the Ifugaos. Abby still dreams about going on the OM ship and reaching around the world with that. And Fedeline, she's got her sights set on going to Sudan. You see, this is the fruit that started. This is how God does 125 years ago. And it just goes down crop after crop after crop. And the crops of every single one of us are going to be impacted by that. Well, I had to come home, take care of my mom, and even Doming was here when her 90th birthday came around, and my mom made it to heaven. But because of that situation, that gave Amy and me new ministry roles. We had a whole new program because it's working out of the States. You know, people have the Word of God. They have it in their own language. We've printed the Belangau New Testament 3 times. They have that book. The Belangaus actually have a website. Things aren't like they used to be at all. They've got the New Testament. They can get it on their computers. They can put it on their phones. But they still have problems. One of the Belangaus who was working with the Old Testament translation said her Auntie Marietta had died. And Auntie Marietta with her family were Christians. And they said, don't put our clothes in the coffin. What you'd need to do is you give them to the poor people. And the food, don't put it in the grave with me. You give it to the poor people. It's going against all Belangau custom. So they did. And after all the ceremonies were over, and everything was settled and everything was distributed, Auntie Marietta started to come back at night, and she'd scream at the family, you know, where are my clothes? Where are my clothes? Give me my food. Where's my food? Where's my food? Night after they used to know what to do if something like that would happen. You sacrifice, you give the pigs, you get stuff. But what do they do? They're children of God. It's not the same. It's not the same. They didn't know what to do, and so finally they got and collected all the stuff and gave it back. I came back just in August. I was in Southeast Asia, and we'd coming back from dinner, and we saw on the sidewalk a lady sending money to the dead ancestors. You do that by getting paper money. I mean, it looked like real money, but it wasn't, they said. And bill by bill, she was sending it through the fire to her ancestors. Things are built into people. Fears are built into people. This gave birth to what Amy and I are doing now called Culture Meets Scripture Workshop. It's like Pahayan. He was just threw his head back and laughed like everything. He didn't care if his soul went to hell. His body was going to go get buried in the ground. If his soul wants to go to hell, let it go to hell and burn. This is where we started in with some new thoughts. There's something going on that I'm looking at, and I can't understand why he's laughing. There's got to be a reason behind his laughing. There's got to be some understanding. There's some assumptions and some beliefs and some feelings. He's got some fears. And we look at those things, you know, and all cultures have a set of this. There's peer pressure. There's your family. You got to do certain things because of that. There's a family honor. I mean, you got to take care of the dead in the other world. If you don't send them some money, who knows what's going to happen? They have certain values and fears and motives and hopes that they want to see happen. And so how do they go about doing this? Well, I talked to Pahayan. I said, you know, we always thought that our soul doesn't feel anything, because our bodies, the soul and the body, are separated. The body goes in the ground. It's the body that feels things, not the soul. They dream at night, and they talk about my soul went off to San Luis and whatever it did, you know, and then my soul came home. I said, you know, that's what we always thought, but something we didn't know. We didn't know our soul will have a body. It's going to be united to the body. And I said, look what this word of God says. There's going to be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. We will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. And you just keep showing them the word of God to answer the questions that they've got. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire, body and soul together. Well, Pahayan very quickly wanted to know more about this God. So this is what Amy and I do now. This is our Culture Meets Scripture workshop. We look at the things that people fear, the things that they feel pressured to do, their assumptions that they make. And we have a plumb line that we take them to the Word of God and ask them to measure that. They're Christians. They want to follow God. And it's a war. It's always a tug of war. You cannot easily leave behind the cultural pressures, whether it's pressures in Paso Robles or pressures anywhere around the world. So looking back, we thank God, we worship Him for what He's done. It's the seed that comes from a little church that was planted 125 years ago, and we trust Him for what's ahead. In a week and a half from today, Amy and I will be leaving for Malaysia to do two of these Culture Meets Scripture workshops. In April, we're going off to the Netherlands to do another one. Indonesia in June, a couple more. Don't have anything on the fall yet. But your prayers are very, very important, because you guys started all this. And so finishing it, of course, is going to be the thing that is going to bring glory to God, and that's what we're all about.
Dreamed I went to heaven, you were there with me. We walked upon streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. You turned, saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. He said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, please wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. So thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Then another man stood before you, an said, remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. One by one they came, far as your eyes could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. I know up in heaven people say you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, great is your reward. For giving to the Lord, I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to Lord, I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. I am so glad you gave. I am so glad you gave.
Church, just stand as we close our service by singing together. Hear the call of the kingdom. You just never know how you might be the answer to someone's prayer. So come and pour yourselves out before him. Hear his call. And let's answer together.
To redeem.
amen. Joe, come on up here, if you will. And Amy, you're hiding somewhere back there. Come up here as well. There you are, all the way back there. Babe, come on up here, if you will. We're going to pray for these two wonderful ladies. They are engaged in some very significant ministry where they go into areas and teach how the culture impacts them and how to help take the Word of God and make it pliable to their language and their people. They have been so faithful to do this. And just remember, this all started many, many, many years ago, but not that many. Okay. So, you know, when I think of your ministry, I think of what Paul was saying in Acts chapter 20 when he met with the elders from Ephesus, and he said, I thank God for you, and I pray for you because you've been faithful. They prayed for Paul and how he had taught the Word of God among the people for generations, and God blessed him. So would you extend their hands towards them as we lift them up in prayer? Father in heaven, I thank you for these two wonderful women of God who have given their life to serve you, to go wherever you've called them, to endure whatever hardship, all for the sake of the gospel. This, Father, is the will of God for their lives. And the will of God for us is to pray for them, to bless them, to give unto them financially so the word of the Lord can go and be spread in many more places. I thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you for the work. I thank you for the endless hours they put in service for you. But Father, I thank you most of all for your faithfulness towards both Joe and Amy, how you've been there and cared for them and sustained them with your goodness and your grace. We look for many more days, Father, of faithful service as you bless them and as you bless us. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Church, we've got cake and coffee out there to enjoy. Be sure to walk down the hall to see the history of the church. And then also in room 113, we have an art contest that we need you to vote on. So please enjoy yourself.